Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Australian Agricultural Company Limited 2020 Annual General Meeting. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Donald McGauchie, Chairman. Please go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. My name is Donald McGauchie. As your Chairman, it gives me great pleasure to welcome you to AACo's 2020 Annual General Meeting. As it is now past 10 a.m. and I've been advised that a quorum is present, I declare this annual general meeting of shareholders open. The notice of meeting, which was sent to shareholders on the 24th of June, will be taken as read. In the light of the COVID-19 pandemic and the government's restrictions on physical meetings, we decided to hold this AGM virtually. This is the first time that we've held a virtual meeting, and we appreciate it may be the shareholders' first time to participate in a virtual meeting. We are conducting this meeting in this way because our board members are in remote locations and widely dispersed and unable to travel. We've decided to conduct this AGM via phone as opposed to video due to the lockdown in Victoria, where I am based. It was not possible to have a camera crew attend to film proceedings. Every effort has been made to ensure that this virtual meeting runs smoothly. We have published on our website and on the ASX the virtual meeting online guide, which explains how to attend and participate in the AGM virtually. I'm chairing this meeting via telephone from my farm in rural Victoria. If I encounter technical difficulties that prevent me from presiding as chair of the meeting, Hugh Killen, our CEO and Managing Director, will take over as chair of the meeting until I'm able to reconnect. The board has temporarily appointed Hugh as Deputy Chairman of the company for the sole purpose of allowing Hugh to preside as chair of this meeting if I encounter technical difficulties that prevent me from presiding. Hugh's appointment as Deputy Chairman of the company will end at the conclusion of this meeting. If we encounter technical difficulties that result in unable to reasonably participate in this meeting, I will adjourn the meeting for 30 minutes, after which the meeting will be reconvened. If the technical issues continue as a result and a number of members being unable to reasonably participate in the meeting, we will adjourn the meeting to a time and place to be announced and lodge an ASX release after the adjournment that sets out the details and next steps. I would now like to introduce you to the AACo board who are joining us via telephone today. Mr. Hugh Killen, Mr. Stuart Black AM, Mr. Anthony Abraham, Mr. Neil Reisman, Mr. Mark Blazer, Dr. Shahan Desanyaka. Shahan is also standing for re-election. His background and experience has been included in the notice of meeting. Ms. Jessica Rudd. Jessica is standing for re-election. Her background and experience has been included in the notice of meeting. And Mr. Tom Keane is also standing for re-election. Tom's background and experience have been included in the notice of meeting. I'd also like to introduce Mr. Bruce Bennett, our Company Secretary and General Counsel. Bruce will read the shareholder questions received during the meeting, and Mr. Nigel Simmons, our Chief Financial Officer. We also have with us today Simon Crane, representing AACo's auditors KPMG. Mr. Crane is available to answer questions relevant to the conduct of the audit and the preparation and content of the independent external auditor's report. And Frankie Gantner of Allens, our legal advisors. And finally, representatives of Link Market Services Limited, our share register. Before moving to the formal part of the meeting, I will address some of the procedural matters. Then we will proceed with the business of the day as set out in the notice of meeting. The financial statements and reports will be discussed first. We will then deal with each of the remaining items set out on the notice of meeting, being the remuneration report and the election of directors. There will be an opportunity for comments and questions in respect of each of these items. Traditionally, the Chairman presents an address at the AGM and the CEO and Managing Director presents the operational report and shareholder update. However, given the virtual format of this meeting, we have taken a different approach this year. My address and Hugh's address were released to the ASX on Monday and we sent an email to shareholders notifying them. We will not present these addresses live during the AGM. They contain answers to many frequently asked questions, so I encourage you to review these matters if you have not already done so. I will now outline the procedural matters for this meeting. At the bottom of the webpage, under the webcast presentation, there are three boxes which allow you to 1. Get a voting card, 2. Ask a question, 3. Download the AGM Notice of Meeting and the 2020 Annual Report and the Virtual Meeting Online Guide. The Ask a Question and Get a Voting Card buttons are replicated at the top of the webpage in gold. If you did not submit your question prior to the meeting, you can ask your question during the meeting via the online platform by clicking the Ask a Question button and then select the item of business that your question relates to, write your question and click the Submit button. I confirm you can start submitting your questions via the online platform now. You do not need to wait until we get to the relevant item of business. We encourage you to start submitting questions now. Note that not all questions are guaranteed to be answered during the meeting. We will do our best to address as many as reasonably possible. We ask you please keep your questions or comments as concise as possible, using a maximum of 20 words as a guide. If a question submitted during the meeting has already been answered in the material released to the ASX this week, we will not answer the question during the meeting, but will instead refer shareholders to the relevant ASX announcement. After each of the items of business, we will address questions submitted via the online platform during the meeting. Bruce will read these questions verbatim on your behalf. Thank you to those shareholders who took the time to pre-submit questions via our share registry link. We received several very similar questions on the same subject, so we will consolidate these questions into one when we answer them during the items of business. If you are having any difficulty submitting a question, please refer to the Virtual Meeting Online Guide, which will be accessed through the online platform. I would now like to briefly summarise the voting procedures which will apply to this meeting. As shareholders, you are asked to participate virtually in this meeting. Each resolution will be conducted by a poll. As shareholders are aware, no formal vote is required on item 1 of the agenda. A poll will be conducted on the remaining items 2 to 5. Shareholders had the option to appoint a proxy to the meeting. If you did not appoint a proxy, you may vote during the meeting via the online platform. To register to vote, click on the Get a Voting Card box at the top of the webpage or below the slide window. You may submit your votes via the online platform at any time during the meeting, starting from now. Following discussion on all items, shareholders will be given time until time that is 5 minutes after this meeting is closed to submit their votes via the online portal. After this time, the polls for each relevant item of business will close. Where undirected proxies have been given in favour of the chairman, I will vote them in favour of the resolution to the extent permitted. The number of proxies received on each resolution will be displayed in the slide view section of your web browser as we move through the resolutions. Your votes will be counted by personnel from our share registrar Link Market Services after the meeting closes. The results of each poll will be announced by the ASX as soon as possible after this meeting and will also be displayed on our website. If you experience any difficulties using the online platform, the helpline number is displayed at the top of the page. You can also refer to the Virtual Meeting Online Guide, which is accessible via the online platform. We will now move to the formal items of business of this meeting. Item 1 is the financial statements and reports. The first item of business in the notice of meeting is to consider the financial statements and reports. I now table the director's statutory report and the financial report for the financial year ended 31 March 2020 and the independent auditor's report on the financial report, this being item 1 on your notice of meeting. These documents were made available to shareholders. The financial statements and reports are placed on the agenda for comment or question only. There is no voting on this item of business. Please note that Simon Crane from KPMG, who oversaw the conduct of the audit, is present. Any shareholder may direct questions to Mr. Crane. Those questions have to be relevant to the conduct of the audit, the preparation and content of the independent audit report, the accounting policies adopted by AACo in relation to the preparation of the financial statements, and the independence of the auditor in relation to the conduct of the audit. If you have any questions for the board, or external auditor, please submit them now if you haven't already done so. We will now address some of the pre-submitted questions which have not already been covered by the speeches. In the interest of brevity, where we've received several questions from shareholders which are similar, we will choose to answer the one question which best represents the majority. The first question relates to the payment of a dividend and comes from Dennis and Lorraine Lynch, who ask, as a long-time shareholder and supporter of an Australian meat-producing company, and considering the high price of meat, I'm wondering where a profit might be made and a dividend will be paid. Thank you for your question and the other shareholders who sent in similar questions in relation to financial performance and dividends. In answer to this question, I will make the following points. AOK made a statutory profit or net profit after tax of $31.3 million and EBITDA of $80.1 million in FY20. Therefore, the company did make a profit for the year. However, with the uncertain impacts of COVID-19, the board has not declared a dividend to shareholders for 2020. We feel it is prudent under the circumstances to preserve cash and use all available resources to invest in the company. I might also add that although we had a successful performance last year, AOK has not paid any performance bonuses to staff, and all of the directors and senior executives at AOK took a 20% pay reduction for the 3 months in response to COVID-19 pandemic. As a fellow shareholder, I can emphasise. However, I can't predict when a dividend will be paid. That depends on the company's performance in the future and the need to invest in the company. Other questions were received from shareholders asked about strategy of the business in regards to China. This question from shareholder David Lumley is the following. I suggest that more effort be put into finding markets for beef products in countries other than China. We need a reliable second different market to survive economic downturns. Please examine. In relation to AOK's exposure to China, as we announced in our FY20 results, China was our second largest customer by revenue, with South Korea being our largest by far. As you would know, since our full year results announcement in May, China has banned 4 beef producing plants, including one which AOK uses. At that time, we planned to divert the China product into alternative markets. I can confirm now we have stopped packing product for China with the exception of trim and have successfully diverted the higher value products to more profitable and strategic markets. AOK has diverse geographical markets for its products and different sales channels as well. This allows the company to divert product to different countries depending on demand and also allows us to sell into retail, food service or direct to consumer. Sustainability is another topic which was queried by shareholders. Shareholder Catherine O'Connor asked, what steps are the board taking to minimise fossil fuel consumption in transport, processing and on-farm operations? Do they see the prospect for dual use of land in terms of energy and beef production? We have a sustainability policy on our website that I encourage you to read. It sets out our guiding principles. As part of that, we have committed to measuring ourselves in a number of key areas to make sure we are always striving for improvement. We raise our cattle on pristine tracts of land that we carefully maintain and manage that land. We're mindful of our impact on the environment and do everything we can to reduce that. For example, we are currently having a program to convert all of our boars to solar power. With regards to transporting animals, we have consciously decided to reduce the movement of animals significantly in the interests of animal welfare and for sustainability and efficiency reasons. Once again, I would encourage you to read our sustainability benchmarking report. We have a commitment to publicly reporting our progress on sustainability because our shareholders and stakeholders demand it and because it is the right thing for us to do. We have also received a question from Lenigan Proprietary Limited asking, is the company involved in the class action regarding the federal government live cattle ban to Indonesia in 2011 or pursuing any other avenue for compensation? Thank you for your question. AOK was one of many cattle producers heavily affected by the ban, and we've been part of the class action brought by the Brett Cattle Company as the lead applicant. The company fully supported the action brought by the Brett family, with the strong support of the Australian Farmers Fighting Fund, the Northern Territory Cattlemen's Association, the National Farmers Federation, and many others. We are of the view, along with the industry, that the issues that led to the decision to ban could have been rectified without such drastic action by the government of the day. We note the Federal Court's decision on the 29th of June awarding the Brett Cattle Company about $3 million and the entitlement of graziers to do $2.15 per kilogram for steers and $1.95 per kilogram for heifers, which were bound for Indonesia. We are watching the case closely and liaising with the legal team regularly. We are pleased, along with the rest of the industry, to learn that the Commonwealth has decided against appealing the ruling, and we look forward to the resolution of the matter through the court. Now a question from shareholder Kenneth Ryan with regards to AACo's 200th anniversary. He asks, has planning yet begun on how AACo might celebrate the bicentenary of the company in 2024 in a fitting manner? Hugh, I might defer to you to answer this question. So over to you, Hugh.
Thank you, Donald. And thanks for your question, Kenneth. At the moment, we are really focusing all of our energy on navigating the uncertainty associated with COVID-19 and getting through this current period. Once the dust has settled somewhat, we will give proper consideration to celebrating AACo's bicentenary in a fitting manner, as it is certainly an important milestone not only for AACo, but also for corporate Australia and I think the agricultural sector more broadly. Donald, back to you.
Thank you, Hugh. We also received some pre-submitted shareholder question directed at AACo's auditors, KPMG. Simon Crane from KPMG is on the line. However, these questions are more appropriately answered by AACo management, and therefore our CEO and MD, Hugh, will answer them right now. Over to you, Hugh.
Thank you, Donald. Question from Mr. Gary Azimuth, and he asked two questions about our credit facility. He says, in the 2019 report, credit facility B was due on the 8th of September 2020. What was the amount and what was the due date, true and correct? He then asked about the 2020 report with credit facility B, $160 million, falling due the 8th of September 2021. Is the amount and the due date true and correct? In answer to both questions, Gary, both Facility A and Facility B agreements are part of the same overarching debt agreement that terminates on the 8th of September in 2022. Facility B is an 18-month rolling facility that is extended every six months as part of this agreement. At 31st of March 2019, Facility B's drawn balance was due the 8th of September 2020. These are best viewed as combined drawn balances as they are part of the same overarching agreement and drawn balances can shift between the two. Total capacity on Facility B was $160 million at March 2019. Total drawn against both facilities was $362.7 million at March 2019, as outlined in Note C4 of the annual report. At 31st of March 2020, Facility B's drawn balance was due 8th of September 2021. The $160 million references Facility B's capacity at March 2020, not the drawn amount. Total drawn against both these facilities was $380.7 million at March 2020, as outlined in Note C4 of the annual report. Thank you for your questions, Gary, and I'll hand it back to you now, Donald.
Thank you, Hugh. We will now address any shareholder questions submitted during the meeting via the online portal. Bruce, are there any questions that have been submitted this morning?
Yes, Chairman. I confirm that so far we have one question submitted via the online portal. The first question is from John Armstrong, and it relates to China. The question is, what proportion of total meat sales were directed to China in 2020? And is the risk analysis for this market under review?
Thank you, John. I'll pass that question to Hugh to give the answer to that in terms of the actual numbers, or as close as we can to the numbers. But bear in mind my previous comment that we certainly have reviewed that situation and are virtually sending no meat to China at all in this year as of now. Hugh?
Thanks, Donald. And John, thank you for the question. As we reported in our results, our total meat sales in FY20 was just under $230 million at $229.6 million. Our China revenue, which we reported for the first time, was $34 million. And so as a percentage of the overall meat sales, I don't believe that China is overweighted. As Donald's just said, we are reviewing our options in relation to China more broadly. I would say that China remains a valid export market for Australian beef in general, and we're hoping that the current situation and some of the challenges we have with the China market more broadly will be resolved soon. Back over to you, Donald.
Thank you, Hugh. Bruce, do we have any other questions submitted this morning?
I confirm there are no further questions on this item submitted on the via the online portal.
Thank you, Bruce, and thank you, shareholders. I'll now move to item two. The second item of business is a non-binding resolution to adopt the remuneration report. Please note that the vote on this resolution is advisory only and does not bind the directors or the company. However, the board and the company will take into account any feedback we have received in developing our future remuneration framework. Voting exclusions apply to this resolution as set out in the notice of meeting. I now invite shareholders and proxy holders to submit any questions regarding the remuneration. Bruce, we do not have any pre-submitted questions on this item. Do we have any questions that have been submitted this morning via the online portal?
Chairman, I confirm that we have not received any questions via the online portal on this item.
Thank you, Bruce. In that case, I will now move to show the proxies. The proxies received in relation to this resolution are now shown on the presentation slides on your screen. Bruce, the proxies are now on the screen?
Yes, Chairman. They've appeared on the screen and can be viewed.
Thank you. I'd like to remind shareholders who haven't yet cast their votes on this resolution to do so now. A poll on this resolution will be conducted at the end of the meeting. Voting on all items is open. We will now move to the next item of business. The third item of business is the re-election of Dr. Shahan Dissanayake as a director. The resolution to be considered under this item is one of ordinary business. With the exception of Dr. Dissanayake, who has abstained from this resolution, the election of Shahan has the unanimous support of the AACo board, and I recommend this motion to you. I now invite shareholders and proxy holders to submit any questions regarding the re-election of Shahan. We received a question from John and Maureen Brown concerning the re-election of Shahan as a director of AACo. If I've understood the question correctly, it is, in view of Mr. Dissanayake's extensive other interests, is he subject to conflicts of interest and are transactions between AACo and the members of the Tavistock Group at arm's length? Thank you, John and Maureen, for your question. I'd like to start by saying that Shahan is an extremely diligent and hardworking director who has been a valued member of the AACo board since 2012. Shahan's extensive industry knowledge, capacity for strategic thought, as well as his expertise in technology and marketing, has seen him make a substantial contribution to the AACo board over the last 8 years. As outlined in the notice of meeting, Shahan is the managing director and a member of the board of Tavistock, directors of Tavistock Group. In that capacity, he has responsibility for portfolio strategy across a broad range of Tavistock investee companies. He is also CEO of Tavistock Life Sciences, an operating unit of the Tavistock Group. In those and other roles, Shahan has built up a wealth of experience that he brings to his role as a director of AACo. There are two parts to this question. The first part relates to conflicts of interest that may arise as a result of Shahan's roles as a director of AACo and director of the Tavistock Group. I can assure you that all directors of AACo, including Shahan, take very seriously the management of conflicts of interest in accordance with their director's duties, applicable law, AACo's board charter, and good corporate governance principles. Where a conflict of interest arises, it is managed appropriately in accordance with those requirements, and when required, the conflicted director leaves the room when the board discusses the matter, giving rise to the conflict, and does not vote on that matter. The second part of your question relates to whether transactions involving AACo and a member of the Tavistock group are carried out at arm's length. I can assure you that AACo is very aware of its obligations under the Corporations Act and ASX listing rules regarding entering into transactions with a substantial shareholder or a member of its corporate group. So when entering into any transaction involving a transaction group member, AACo takes appropriate steps to ensure it complies with those obligations as well as good corporate governance practices, including by ensuring that those transactions are on arm's length. Bruce, do we have any questions submitted during the course of the meeting on this matter?
Chairman, I confirm that we have not received any questions via the online portal in respect of this item.
And Bruce, the proxies are shown on the screen?
They're not, they've just appeared on the screen now, Chairman. They can be viewed by the shareholders.
Thank you. I'd like to remind shareholders who haven't yet cast their votes on this resolution to do so now. A poll on this resolution will be conducted at the end of the meeting. Voting on all items is open. We will now move to the next item of business. The fourth item of business is the re-election of Ms. Jessica Rudd as the director. The resolution to be considered under this item is an ordinary resolution. With the exception of Jessica, who is abstaining from this resolution, the election of Jessica has the unanimous support of the AACo board, and I commend this motion to you. I now invite shareholders and proxy holders to submit any questions regarding the re-election of Ms. Rudd. Bruce, we don't have any pre-submitted questions, so have there been any questions addressed to this item of business this morning?
Chairman, I confirm we have received one question via the online portal. The question is from Elton Ivers, who is the ASA proxy representative. The question is, Ms. Rudd, the AACo 2020 annual report indicates that you do not hold any AACo shares and you have been a director of the company for almost 3 years. As an ASA proxy representative, many shareholders wish to see their representatives of the company, that is directors, with a commitment to the company, including an appropriate holding of shares in their company, also known as skin in the game. If this is correct, is there a reason why you do not have any shares in the company?
Thank you, Elton. The company doesn't have a policy of requiring shareholders to, directors to hold shares in the company, but of course we welcome shareholders, directors doing so. It's a matter of personal decision in relation to the investments that directors hold, and we respect that that right. I'd have to say I have yet to see an issue where any director in any company that I've been involved in sees any difference in the diligence that they apply to their role as a director having any way relation to the shareholdings that they hold in a company. The other issue that arises quite often for directors is the opportunity to actually make a purchase of shares. And often it takes quite a long time for directors to have that opportunity, given the, first of all, the narrow windows that we have opened for directors to buy shares. But even so, in those windows, if there are issues that are being discussed or matters that are not freely available to the market, then directors are precluded. Directors have to ask me, as do members of management, to ask me as the chairman if there is any reason why they shouldn't purchase. And very often, unfortunately, I've had to decline those offers because there are matters that are not freely open to other shareholders. Are there any other questions, Bruce?
Chairman, I can confirm there are no further questions on this item, and the proxy votes received in relation to this resolution will appear on the screen shortly. They have now appeared, Chairman, and can be viewed.
Thank you. I'd like to remind shareholders who haven't yet cast their votes on this resolution to do so now. A poll on this resolution will be conducted at the end of the meeting. Voting on all items is open. We will now move to the final item of business on the agenda. The fifth and final item of business is the re-election of Tom Keane as a director. The resolution to be considered under this item is an ordinary resolution. With the exception of Tom, who is abstaining from the resolution, the election of Tom has the unanimous support of the AACo board, and I commend this motion to you. I now invite shareholders and proxy holders to submit any questions regarding the re-election of Mr. Keane. Bruce, we don't have any pre-submitted questions. Have there been any questions via the online portal this morning?
Chairman, I can confirm we have not received any questions via the online portal on this item. And so, there being no further questions, the proxy votes received in relation to this resolution will appear shortly on the screen. They've now appeared on the screen. Chairman, they can be viewed.
Thank you, Bruce. I'd like to remind shareholders who haven't yet cast their votes on this resolution and all other resolutions to do so now. A poll on this resolution will be conducted at the end of the meeting. We have now dealt with all the items of business in the notice of meeting. I now ask you to ensure that your voting cards have been completed by the online portal for each resolution put to you today. Please remember to click on the Submit Vote at the bottom of the resolution to submit your voting card. If you require assistance to submit your vote, please call the helpline number displayed at the top of the page. With each item of business at this meeting having been dealt with, I now declare that the polls in respect of each resolution will be closed at the time, which is 5 minutes after this meeting is closed, and formally ask Link Market Services Limited, as returning officer, to count the votes following the expiry of that period. I now propose to bring today's proceedings to an end. The results of this meeting will be released through the ASX as soon as possible and will also be displayed on our website. On behalf of the board and management, thank you to everyone who attended AACo's first AGM and to all those who engaged with us by submitting questions in advance and during the meeting. Thank you all for embracing this new format for an AGM in these most unusual circumstances. We hope that you and your families are safe and well. That concludes the business of this meeting. Ladies and gentlemen, I now declare the AACo 2020 AGM closed.